Welcome to the Best People We Know radio show. This is where you'll meet experts and celebrities who share their success secrets with you to help you be your most successful best too. Your host, Deb Scott, is a certified professional coach at Discover the Amazing You Coaching and author of the award-winning motivational book, The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue, Turning Your Upside-Down World Right Side Up. The Best People We Know radio show brings you powerful resources, effective ideas, and transformational tools you can use to educate, inspire, and motivate you to be your most purposeful, peaceful, happy best. So get ready to experience mind vitamins to feed your whole soul. Good change is about to happen. The Best People We Know radio show. Here's your host, Deb Scott.
Well, good morning, all you best people I know out there listening live or on replay. Love and appreciate you, and so grateful that you are here with our shining guest, Tia Starr. Today we are going to talk about solutions to problems, and isn't that what it's about to be our best, replacing the bad stuff with the good stuff? And being real about the social media issues that parents are dealing with, teens are dealing with, social media is here to stay. And there's a lot of good things about it, but cyberbullying, sexting, all that texting, sites that are teaching kids how to commit suicide and get high. You know, these are real issues that parents have to deal with and real pressures that teens deal with. So we're going to talk about that today. This is the second part in a four-part series. And we are very, very privileged to have Tia Starr with us, who is of the Tia Starr Network, and she's launching a new site that's going to help us as well. Before I read her bio, for those of you who haven't had the privilege of knowing her, please mark us as a favorite and follow us. If you like us on that button on the front, it helps people know about us, and we can't help people if they don't know what they don't know, and we all help each other. And if you mark us as a favorite and follow us, you get those worry-free updates for all the experts and celebrities that we bring to you as a service to you. And if you like us, go to iTunes and write your feedback, because we want to hear from you. You're the ones that are making the show great. We're over 11,000 listeners now, and I'm really humbled and happy and want to thank you. So feeling the love through the airwaves. But let me tell you about Tia Starr of the nationally recognized Tia Starr Network, and she is going to talk to us about the solutions that we need to the problems for our teens. And Tia's no stranger to success. At 12, she was writing and gaining national recognition for The Day I Died, written in honor of her late grandfather. She was spinning records, performing as a hip-hop artist, and writing her own songs by the age of 13, and she became an entrepreneur at the early age of 14. Today, she has the title as an award-winning entrepreneur, talk show host, songwriter, musician, DJ, hip-hop artist, and lyricist. And she is a visual engineer, a poet, a writer, an editor. She's a producer, a director, a filmmaker, a graphic artist, an animator, a webmaster, a programmer, and designer. And she is founder of the non-profit organization and CEO of the Tia Starr Media Network. And her volunteer work has obviously been recognized by two great people. President George W. Bush gave her an award, and also the mayor of Cleveland, Jane Campbell. And you can connect with Tia Starr at the TiaStarrNetwork.com. And it is my privilege and pleasure to introduce everybody to Tia Starr. Hi, Tia. How are you?
Hey, how's it going, Deb? How's it going? Great to be here with you this Saturday morning. You know, as always, loving to help and to give back, and thank you once again. It's an honor and a privilege to be back on your show. And, you know, last week we started out with a really very serious topic with our team, and I got to tell you, for anyone that listened last week, River that came on after the show, towards the end of the show, I mean, touched my heart in regards to, you know, the feeling that there was no hope. And I just refuse to believe that. So that's why we're back again, just to let these teens know that there are adults out here who care and want to give them hope and solutions and alternatives.
And you can listen to that show if you want to. Doctor, psychotherapist called
yes.
in, Dr. Nancy Raymore, who works with teens on this issue. And
yes.
I would highly recommend that you go to the replay. It was 2 weeks ago on a Saturday. And we also had River, a teen in the South, she called in and talking about the real problems and the intimidation and the peer pressure that she, as a teen, was experiencing on this topic. So maybe you can, you know, people that didn't, they can go and listen, but what, you know, maybe you want to just bring people up to speed on that a little bit, Tia.
Right. Yeah, definitely. You know, last week when we did the show, she mentioned about, you know, I don't even want to promote the site she talked about, but, you know, she talked about there are sites out there that teach children how to bully each other. There's sites out there that teach people how to that teach themselves how to choke each other, thinking that it's fun, but it's actually very harmful, and that kids are actually dying from doing so. But their intent is to actually receive some sort of euphoria or high out of this, and this is just saddening to me. So when she called in at the end of the show, you know, it just prompted me even more to keep moving forward with wanting to help these kids, help teens. And the Tia Star Network, which we talked about in the Star Network and the foundation, you know, we definitely advocate for kids, especially youth, our youth, and also for women of domestic violence and abuse. But in particular in this area, one of the things that after talking with River, I've definitely come to partner with quite a few people, and we want to extend our services to just have a complete safe network for teens. I don't feel that right now there's a solution, and it can't be when you have teens on the coming on air saying that there's no hope and there's nothing we can do about it. And I just refuse to believe that. As long as there's breath, there's something you can do.
And that's why we're here today, because people, if nobody brings an awareness to the seriousness of the problem, nobody's going to change and create a solution to the problem. And
right.
people are making it happen. Your new network that's getting ready to launch is going
right.
to be a great place for that. But parents and teens need to be able to get the resources that are good for them as easily as these sites that teach you how to choke and the sexting and the all these
yeah.
other things and the cyberbullying, and wouldn't you agree with that?
Yeah, definitely. And I gotta tell you, you know, there's always some sort of test or something that will happen to you, at least for me in my world, because I have teens. And I gotta tell you, yesterday I had one of those experiences with one of my teens dealing with social media networks. And it, once again, it was just like one of those slap in the face, like, okay, we have got to give them an alternative. You know, we talked about how I don't think the kids actually realize their whole life now is on public display. And when everything is put on public display, there's no place that they could go back once an action is done and look it over and think about it. Because it's out there, and a lot of times it's misconveyed and it's misunderstood because there's no real actual physical interaction with anyone when you do something. And when we talked about the miscommunication and actually things that are put in text, and how some of the kids that you polled said, well, a lot of times they'll say something, but it's misunderstood and it leads to issues like cyberbullying and a lot of the harassment and the negative aspects of social media. So what we're trying to do is construct a format that will get kids back to actually interacting with other teens in a positive way, in a peer leadership way, and not just through texting and typing or just social media. There has to be a solution beyond just that.
So if you, we hope that you'll call in 347-637-1318 with your comments and let us know the problems that you're experiencing and the solutions that are working for you, and your ideas and input are certainly something that,
right.
You know, today is a perfect venue to really talk the naked truth. And there are so many people, if you know, you're only as sick as your secrets, and that's
yes.
why this forum is so good for us today to get the conversation going. And one of the things that we asked the people a couple weeks ago to do was to just really test themselves with how addicted maybe we are with our teens or our adults, parents, in social media. And the challenge that we gave everybody 2 weeks ago was to take a 24-hour period with no social media. That meant no Facebook, no texting, no cell phone pending an emergency for the family, no
media
YouTube.
Fast.
Yeah, a total one-day media fast. And seeing, okay, what happened? Did
right.
you feel like you were, you know, amputated? I mean, the more severe the reaction, the more information and truth we can see about how addicted we are, you know?
Right.
So that media fast was a real-world challenge to really test, where are you? Where are you in social media addiction, or where are you in social media dependence, and to just discover, are there any issues for you? Are there
right.
any issues with your kids? And I think that that's a real life way to find out individually where we all are. So I'm hoping people are going to call in and tell us how that happened.
Right. Well, how'd it go for you? Did you take it?
Well, I got to tell you, for me, I am clearly needing to change how I deal with it, because I usually get up in the morning and I pray, but then the next thing I do is get on the computer. You know, I check all those emails, I do my Facebook post, the Twitter, you know, all of that stuff. And I have to say that the peace in not doing that really was enormous, but I also felt disconnected. I felt like something in my life was missing. And I think for me, it really gave me a great wake-up call that I need to really look at how dependent I am to the social media. And, you know, if it's something that I can't live without, I have to accept that there's an attachment to it. And it's not that social media is bad, but it's got to be framed in a healthy context. I mean, you can die from drinking too much water, and water is really good for you. So, you know, there's a balance that I think has to occur. And, you know, until that habit is implemented naturally, I think there has to be a mechanical frame to segue into a healthy lifestyle. So that's how it went for me. How did it go for you?
Well, as you know, I kind of share with you that I've done Media Fest sometimes at great length for various reasons, so very limited. But to do it for the actual, what you would call a straight 24-hour period, touching nothing, obviously being in the business that we're in, we are very heavily dependent on social media. So the first thing was, of course, it affected me drastically, because it's also part of our marketing. And it has to be, because that's where everyone is at. So, yeah, it definitely, there was a missing factor. It was like, you know, I felt like I was disconnected. And it did actually bother me in one sense, but in the other sense, a key word that you use is also I had some peace, because I didn't find myself being solicited or getting caught into maybe someone else's issues as a distraction.
Yeah.
Because and that, right.
Did you feel this way? And maybe somebody listening can relate to this.
Right.
I noticed when I'm looking at all those emails or I'm on social media, it's like I'm being bombarded with
yes.
everybody's emotions, and everybody's comments are creating some type of an emotion in me. So it was almost like, you know, an emotional avalanche, tsunami of information and feelings. And
yes.
I think that's what I noticed when I went back to it. That's how it felt, because when I was without it, I didn't realize, wow, I am, when I open up that computer screen, it's just like, you know, it's the avalanche tsunami coming on me.
Well, you know, I got to tell you how integrated it has to be in one's life. I get up, I pray, I hit the button on my computer. That says a lot.
Yeah.
The second thing I do after praying is I go to cut my computer on. Sometimes it's not even off. So,
yeah, exactly.
So I'm going right to the screen. So, and don't get me wrong, by no means do I feel like it's a bad thing. It's just that when we start seeing the negative effect of it and how it's affecting our teens and our kids and with the things that are happening to them online with the bullying and then all of the other stuff, then we have to start to look at this as it must be important because it's affecting everyone. Just like you said, when you went back to it, there was this feeling like you got into this emotional roller coaster again.
Exactly. And
it becomes
like an addiction. It's a new addiction. You know, I just wanted to share with people listening, there's a Teenage Research Unlimited survey that was done asking teens, talking about this regarding cyber abuse. 71% of teens recognize the seriousness of using cell phones and social networking and spreading rumors. Okay,
right.
So 71% of teens recognize that it's a serious problem that rumors can be spread. So they are recognizing that social media can be used for a negative purpose. 68% see problems with sharing embarrassing pictures and videos on computers and phones. So a large percentage realize the videos, that cyberbullying, all of this is part of the social media. But 24% of teens in a relationship text or talk hourly between midnight and 5 a.m. Now, that means that almost a quarter of teens that are in a relationship are actually between midnight and 5 a.m. using social media to continue the communication. It's unbelievable.
Right.
30% say they receive text messages wanting to know where they are, what they're doing, who they're with, from their boyfriend and girlfriend, at least, are you ready for this?
Go with it.
10 to 30 times per hour.
I believe
over
it.
A quarter. I mean, it is here. I mean, these statistics are amazing, and I wonder how many parents are aware of the seriousness of this, because most of the parents didn't grow up with this culture. So, you know, that old saying, you don't know what you don't know. Sometimes
right. Being
naive is, you know, parents need to be educated on what the teens are experiencing and doing in order to be part of the solution. They need to be aware of the problem. These
right. Statistics
are just amazing.
Staggering.
To me.
They're staggering. Can you imagine? Now, just think about what you said. Now, if you actually did, just, how would one feel if 10 times an hour someone called you or was standing right there with you and asking you whereabouts, you see what I'm saying, or just questioning you? Now, these are teens that are dealing with this, and they're dealing with it. I mean, that's what I call a stalking statistic, you know, from a real standpoint.
Figuratively and literally.
It's stalking, actually, from a real statistical standpoint. But now take into effect, these are teenagers we're talking about. We're not talking about adults. We're talking about teens. who are still in development, which is what Dr. Nancy talked about as far as their ability to even rationalize a decision, which you mentioned last week.
Yeah, let's talk about one of the other things that you're dealing with in your new site that's coming up to give them a safe place, because, you know, there's a lot of statistics now with sexting, which is a really big thing. So let me just share with those listening parents, listen up. This is really amazing. This is another, these are just facts from another research organization. Here, 20% of teens have sent or posted nude or semi-nude pictures or videos of themselves. Tia, themselves. Almost a quarter nude pictures of themselves.
Right.
38% of teens have sent or posted sexually suggestive messages. 31% of teens have received a nude or semi-nude picture or video from someone. Now, listen, watch this. 48% of teens have received a sexually suggestive message from someone. 43% of teens say there is pressure among people their age to post sexy pictures or videos in their social networking site profiles.
Right.
43% are experiencing peer pressure to post nude pictures of themselves. 29% say they have had nude or semi-nude images originally meant for someone else shared with others. So this is the whole, you know, idea of rumors are being spread in nude videos in sexual, content. 74% of teens believe that sexting photos of someone under the age of 18 is wrong. So most of the teens are aware with that statistic that it's wrong. It's not good. It's not giving a great result, but yet it's happening. 45% of teens do not know that getting caught sending nude or nearly nude photos involves legal consequences. So this is the lack of education that we have a need to be responsible for with our teens. I mean, it's our responsibility as adults. And 51% of girls say pressure from a guy is a reason girls send sexy messages or images. Again, the pressure, half of the girl. Mm-hmm. 69% of the teens who sexed have sent or posted sexual content to a boyfriend. So this is becoming, almost 70% are looking at this as a natural way of acceptable communication with their boyfriends to send them nude information about themselves. 30% of teens who sexed content to someone say that this is how they've hooked up with their future boyfriends or girlfriends. And 60% of the teens who have sexed have sent the content for fun or frivolous, and I'm quoting, motivation. And 80% of teens who sexed, this is the most staggering, 86% of teens who sexed say they're never caught by an authority figure.
Amen. And that's the problem.
I mean, that's the key.
All of these things happen because somewhere we drop the ball in regards to monitoring, talking to, teaching, and helping those teens.
Yeah.
You wouldn't let it happen physically in front of you, right? But when you allow your kids to just go, and you think they're okay, I give them their cell phone, I give them their laptop, they're fine, and leave them to go what they got to do, and you're going ahead about your business. You leave a door wide open for others to teach them, which you're not.
Exactly. And you know, the real problem is, and if even just one person listening to this will start a dialogue and a conversation with their teens, what are they experiencing? You know, this show is a service to all of you out there, and I hope you share it with a friend, because part of the problem is just having a conversation. And you can take some of these statistics that have touched your heart and talk to your teen and say, you know, I just was listening to this radio show, and they were talking about statistics that 86% of teens nationally are sending nude images and sexting, and that 86% say they're never caught by an adult. You know, are you engaging this? Have you seen it? I mean, take some of these statistics to start the conversation so that you can find out, is your child
right.
one of these? And right. can you be a solution to this problem?
Now, I'm going to give you this acronym and tell me what does this mean. IAD.
IAD. Tell me.
This Internet Addiction Disorder.
Oh.
There is actually really a medical term for Internet Addiction Disorder.
That is a real term that's now available. Internet
addiction
disorder.
And, you know, if you want to go...
We're
going
to have a 12-step program for
this. Yes. There is one. Actually, that's what I'm getting ready to get to. we've gotten to a society and an age now where these issues are so prevalent, and then from what I'm seeing and from what we're gathering and even in our information that we're gathering and what, you know, you and I have statistically worked on and with our partners, there is a huge gap, especially generationally, in regards to absorbing any responsibility in trying to help our teens stop falling into the statistics that you've given us and get on the other half of it. And the thing that you state that's really staggering, because you talked about the 86%, but the thing that's staggering is that they know somewhere in their mind it's not okay. But they've been given the green light to go do it anyway.
Well, I'm gonna say to the listeners that I have just now, because Tia is a star. Her name is so perfect because she's out there in the real world. An Internet Addiction Disorder. You know, I just happened to do one of those Wikipedia searches.
Yes.
Lo and behold, I've fallen and I can't get up. It pops right up in the encyclopedia.
Okay. So it's very serious. This is
Let me tell the listeners what the clinical definition in Wikipedia is of Internet Addiction Disorder. Good God. Internet Addiction Disorder, IAD, or more broadly, Internet Overuse, Problematic Computer Use, or Pathological
Computer Use,
is excessive computer use that interferes with daily life. These terms avoid the distracting and disuse of term addiction, but are not limited to any single cause. IAD was originally proposed as a disorder in a statistical hoax by Ivan Goldberg, MD, and he took pathological gambling as diagnosed by the Diagnostic and Statistic Manual of Mental Disorders as his model for the description of IAD. Good grief. It's serious. Online activities, which if done in person would normally be considered troublesome, such as compulsive gambling or shopping, are sometimes called net compulsions. Others, such as reading or playing computer games, are troubling only to the extent that these activities interfere with normal life. Supporters of disorder classification often divide IAD into subtypes by activity, such as excessive, overwhelming, inappropriate pornography use, gaming, online social networking, blogging, email, or internet shopping. Oh, my Lord.
Right.
Unbelievable.
But, this is serious. And what we don't realize is that a lot of our teens have this disorder.
I think a lot of adults have it.
A lot of our adults do, but what are the examples that we're giving our teens?
Yeah. So let's talk about some of the ways that we can stop stop it, some ways that we can, you know, really try to, let's have people, if you can call in, if you're listening, 347-637-1318, let's talk about some of the solutions, some of the places that you can go, some things that parents can do, some things teens can do to support other teens,
right,
and some other opportunities to take these negative things and turn them into positive solutions. And we'll be back right after this short break.
Is your life crazy? Do you want to transform your challenges into celebrations? You can with the right guidance system. Check out Deb Scott's award-winning book, The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue, turning your upside-down world right side up. Readers on Amazon.com give The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue 5-star rave reviews. Visit Deb at greenskyandbluegrass.com to get your copy and sign up for her free Mind Vitamin newsletter. Get The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue and step into your greatness today. Go to greenskyandbluegrass.com now.
Okay, well, we're back with Tia Starr, the Tia Starr Network. She's an expert in many things, but one of her passions is to work with teens. She's won some national awards, even given by the prior president, Bush, for her work. So she is nationally recognized, and her work travels the globe. She's talking to us today about solutions for problems in social media with teens to help out parents. And the first half, we've given some statistics and some real issues. And we now know that from Tia, she's enlightened us. There's an actual term, IAD, Internet Addiction Disorder. And let's talk about some of the solutions. What are some of the solutions that people can have hope for? Because it seems kind of grim right now, doesn't it?
Right, it does. And actually, to get to the solutions, you got to actually know some of the symptoms. And I'm going to give this to you as a real brief, and then we'll get to some solutions, hopefully. Cyber sex addiction, actually, we talked about that. What you spoke of with our teens, which is really important, is called cyber relationship addiction.
Cyber relationship addiction.
Right.
Okay.
Actually falls under the social networking aspect with the chat rooms and the messaging and the virtual world and the online friends becoming more important than our real-life relationships with family and friends. So if that's substituting real life, then automatically we've got to get back to real life. Because basically all of these things are putting us in a place that's not really realistic. And apparently we're making decisions that we don't want to deal with the real world.
Yeah, that idea that you said it really great on the last show. It's like, okay,
right,
why did I go there? Why did I
right.
Why did I engage in this behavior? What was I looking for?
Before.
What did I want to get? And most everybody wants to build relationships, friendships,
right,
love, acceptance. But what did I really get? And the idea that what they bought, they thought was happiness, love,
right,
peace, friendship, and they got counterfeit, counterfeit purchase that gave them
right
a negative result instead of a positive result.
Right. So now that I think to summarize it was, you got there, now you didn't get what you want, now what? Well, if you're in that particular place and you're getting even more of the same negative things that you think you're running away from, then it's really not a solution. So we've got to figure out, one, what are you running away from or not wanting to deal with, and then try to fix that issue, and then also provide positive alternatives.
Right, because the symptoms, as we know, and this is really, I thought, was powerful in the last show too, Dr. Nancy was talking about the development of the brain and the chemistry
right
of a child, a young teen, is not fully developed, and all of this input is changing brain chemistry and a healthy development for relationships. And the psychological disorders, you know, it changes tolerance. They can have depression, withdrawal symptoms,
right,
disturbances in social relationships. I mean, there's so many symptoms and consequences
Right. Issues.
Yeah.
They're doing it in their adult issues. I mean, this is sad when our teens are getting more medication than our adults.
Right. And, you know, the answer is not, whatever you want to say, the answer is not to ban the Internet. You can't outlaw the Internet, and you can't be giving your kids all sort of, you know, psychotherapeutic drugs. I think what we have to focus on, and that's what we're trying to do in this series, is to provide methods of prevention.
Right.
They do exist that can help reduce the negative effects of Internet use in this way.
Right.
So let's talk about those.
Yeah. So some of the things that we have to get back to is if you're experiencing depression, anxiety, fear, bullying from the internet aspect, let's remember that's a virtual place. The difference between the real world and the virtual world is you can cut it off. You can take some time away from it. You can substitute it with positive interaction, actual real interaction with people. Let's just start with that, with family and friends, actually getting out, doing something positive. So what we're looking at,
So the first thing that I think you're telling people, if they want to write it down, first thing is you have to limit the use. You have to set times where you're really engaging in the Internet. And you're telling us to replace that with something else so that you don't go into this withdrawal that you're not connected, right?
Right. Because that's a virtual place, and although there are real people on each end, if it's causing all of these issues, then obviously it's not healthy. So as with anything that's an addiction or anything that becomes unhealthy, what's the first thing that your doctor's going to tell you? He's going to say, okay, well, you need to make a change, or you need to taper off of it, or you need to find something else that's positive to replace it with.
Yeah, because really, if you go cold turkey like that, and I think that's why it was good to try to do the fast, you know, if you start having anxiety or obsessive thinking, oh, my God, you know, what's happening now on the Internet, or dreams about the Internet, or, you know, you start, like, getting shaky. I mean, those are withdrawal symptoms.
Those are withdrawal symptoms. It's just like I expressed to you about what I would do, and then my first thing was to cut that computer on. Okay, so I had to stop. Because that would be it. That, you know, that's the world, and that would be it. And before I know it, the day, you know, although doing productivity is one thing, but when you look up and it's 5 hours later, something's wrong.
Right. So the other thing to do is, you know, they're Googling and all this research on places that are negative. How about the Googling and the researching of some of the places that are healthy and solutions? We talked about that, which is what you're designing, but let's talk about some others.
Right. And I want to go back to that because you mentioned something about the Googling and the another symptom of Internet addiction, we didn't get into the actual, like, some of the breakdown of the actual symptoms. Information overload, compulsive web surfing, or data searching, leading to a lower productivity and less social interaction with family and friends. We're doing it so much that we don't even deal with other people. So the solution is always, the primary solution is getting back to actually dealing with real people, having real conversations, actually interacting with each other, actually talking to each other, actually being parents to our teens, actually having some sort of actual real reaction with each other. We are in a society now where we will text each other across the dinner table instead of talk to each other.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. You know, I go to Mass and I hear cell phones going off. I see kids texting, you know, and it's unbelievable how it's really permeated every single area. But I think that there are some great support groups, some places to go. You know, there's you know, ADHD teen support group, but there's also, you know, people are aware of that, and ADHD is become more well known. But there's some other areas, you know, to help teens with anxiety and support and all of that.
Right. And that's actually what we're doing with our network. We're actually creating support groups. And that's what I said about giving positive peer mentorship and leadership. having the first thing is connecting teens with other teens that are not in that behavior pattern. To give them someone to, it's kind of like a model to look at and say, okay, well, if they're able to be functional without having to be on the internet 24 hours a day, and they're not going through all the issues that we're going through, then there's hope. Because the thing that bothered me the most about last week was when a kid got on the air and said, there is no hope.
Yeah. And there is hope. And I
show them hope.
Right. You know, I think that what we need to do is, and this is what we're working on, is providing places and, you know, really
activity.
Allowing... Yes, really allowing there to be an awareness that there are other people that have this problem, that feel this way, and that there are other places where you can connect with kids like
right.
yourself on the internet and parents to be able to go with support. You know,
right.
that there are places, and there are a lot of, you know, a lot of church groups I know are working with this, but there's a lot of there's a lot of support out there. There's a lot of teens helping teens.
And that's a very important factor. But then we also got to get back to the reality of it, too. As adults, and definitely as parents, we got to own up.
Yeah.
And we just do. And so the other parameters that we are now putting in place is that we're trying to get something that's functional for parents to also start to have tools as well.
Yeah. And, you know, there's organization. You know, there's one of them that helpingteens.org. And
right.
they deal with the cyberbullying, after-school abuse. They deal with all sorts of mental health. They deal, you know, they deal with anorexia, depression, sexual issues.
Right.
I mean, they deal with everything. But I think it's important for teens and parents alike to get to something. I mean, just take, for example, go to helpingteens.org. Check out that
right.
site. See what they're talking about. See the problems. And get involved in that type of social networking that's constructive rather than the other.
Yeah, that's destructive. And then the other part of it is, I mean, it's going to go back to the basic principle and foundation. Sometimes you just got to cut it off. Sometimes you actually have to just spend some time talking to someone that's in the same house with you. Actually connecting with your teens. And we're getting to a point, I think, you know, in some of the groups, some of the parents have expressed that they're finding it difficult to reconnect. Like, they really want to connect, but they feel that there's such a gap that's been driven between themselves and their teens, and it always is going to be a gap between teenagers and parents. That's a natural gap that happens, but it's even more of a gap and a wedge between it. So... they're actually trying to reconnect, and in their attempt to reconnect, they don't even know the child that's in their house.
Right, and you know, one of the people, one of our listeners in the chat room is commenting about, you know, being shocked that there's a term for this, the
right.
internet addiction disorder, and I think that probably anybody listening... it's saying internet addiction disorder. It's a real thing, and there's a real problem and a real solution. And there are a lot of therapists that are being certified in this special way to deal with this. And you know, it's having an effect. I'm just reading one of the chat people talking about. You know, it keeps me up at night during the night, and the stress and the anxiety that this can cause is lasting, and you know
yes.
it affects every area of life and development. So you know, it's you can get up and you can connect with a place that's a safe place where other teens are helping each other and dealing with the issue and putting those things, as you talked about, time limitations.
Right.
What are some of the other things that parents and teens can do?
Well, you know, we went back to just the reconnecting. the bridging the gap between the reconnecting, because now you got to, it's like almost meeting a new person all over again. But you do know who this person is. You gave birth to them, and they're in your home. But now they're completely influenced by all these other issues. And so we have to give, what we're doing is finding out that we're going to have to give parents the tools to even realize that the influence that your children are under now is different than just going back to your kid and saying, okay, today we're going to go outside and play baseball, or today we're going to go out and do something together. Because they also now have a compulsive disorder themselves.
Mm. You know, another site, and I'm really excited about your site. There's another site called Teen Help. And towards
right.
that end of what you said, they recommend, if you obviously the Real Life talk with the parents, but there is support forums. And, you know, for example, this particular organization, Teen Help, which is really sponsored by parents who are dealing with the struggling teens, it's a place where thousands of teenagers worldwide are connecting in support forums and healthy chat rooms to find out the interests, concerns, and to express themselves in healthy ways. And those are the type of things that need to be promoted more than, you know, how do you choke yourself to get a high?
Right.
That type of thing.
Yeah, I mean, so just in that aspect alone, we as parents and as adults have to start to accept it. But the other part of the solution, which is even a bigger issue, you gave me the statistics, but those statistics are not just our current teens. We're talking about statistically maybe over the last 10 to 15 years. And then definitely over the last, you know, 5 to 6 years. So what you now have are parents who also have the same pattern, raising
yeah.
a generation of kids.
Yeah.
So there's even a larger gap to overcome in breaking the habit of the parents to realize that it's addictive behavior, for them to even recognize that it's addictive behavior in their children.
Mm.
And so the solutions have to be there.
Right. Tell us about, because you've got an unveiling of a great support system that's going to be
right.
launching soon, which we'll talk about in part three. But let's give listeners an idea of the components of what they can look to have as help in this new site that you've created.
Well, first of all, we're definitely going to move away from a lot of the, you know, there's filters, so you won't see the pornography, there's negative imagery. It's going to be much more of a positive aspect, period, with the site and the flow, even with the programming and what we've integrated as far as even the tools, the videos tools, all those things, and also giving, if you're going to interact with someone, one of the things that you and I spoke about on air and off air is the biggest miscommunication that most people have is when they don't actually see what someone is saying to them. And it's just in print. And the kids even told you that when they did the polls, that when they have the biggest breakdown in the communication online is that whatever's put in print, it's in print and then it's being miscommunicated. And it leads to the other issues just as far as the relationship part of it. Also that we've created programs and designed programs outside of the network for people to become participants in globally. So what we've partnered with are global organizations to continue to reinforce and give outlets, and then also giving classrooms, giving tools for parents as well as teens to be aware of the signs, one, to start learning how to deal with the issues, two, and then have an alternative place and space to go, three. And then four, also giving them an alternative even from that where they're actually interacting with people again as opposed to just constantly being in a virtual world where there's no interaction with anyone.
Right. And, you know, I think that another issue, and I'm just going based on some communication also here in the chat, some of these kids are wanting to report these issues, but when they do,
and we do
they
have
don't
a
believe
reporting
them.
System.
And in an example, you know, some countries, and even in our own, you know, police are bribed. They're part of the problem. It's hard for kids to be believed. You know, they don't have a safe adult to go to that will help them. And I think that that's one of the tragedies, that these kids have these problems and they don't tell anybody.
Well, no, I got something. This is, you talked about statistically. Statistically, just with cyberbullying alone, 58% have not told their parents or an adult that something mean or hurtful has happened to them online.
Say that again.
58% have not told their parents or an adult about something mean or hurtful that's happened to them online.
So, you know, this is why I think it's so, so very important that we really take the shame. We really take the shame
out of
someone
it.
Who's been, you know, sexually a victim of this internet stuff, or been bullied, or been harassed. Let's take the shame out of it. If you were chatting with someone and you're a teen listening, and you know you met somebody that you thought was 15 years old like you, and they ended up being 40-year-old guy, and you got sexually abused and molested and raped. You know, let's take the shame out of these effects. And realize that it is not the responsibility of the teen. It is the responsibility of the adult.
Adults. That's it. Because what we've done now is we've given our teens so much adult responsibility that now they even take on the shame of it. In other words, a teen reacts just like an adult would now. An adult has a, you know, and when we get to the adults, we kind of feel that we should just know better in certain areas. But
yeah.
Dr. Nancy just told us and proved to us, and there's physically, teens are not capable of that yet in certain areas. But we're giving them those responsibilities, and we're leaving them to deal with those emotions as if though they are.
Yeah. Let's take a call, okay? We have somebody on here at 785. Go ahead. You're on the air with T-Star.
Hello?
Hello? 976. Is it 786-95?
Yes. You're on the air. Go ahead.
This
Hi.
Is Chico Lunch. Good morning.
Good morning.
This is Chico Lunch. I am enjoying this program very much this morning because my lifelong vision and vocation is to develop self-development, wisdom, education for teenagers, and character development, wisdom, education for all teenagers. And throughout my existence, I have come to the realization that the birth of mankind has changed from the way it has been, let's say, 1,500 years ago.
Yes.
But the mentality of adults, you men, continue on. They keep passing it on from generations to generations, which cause that today they still treat teenagers as though we've been through what you're going through. We know what you're going through, which is a lie, because the way life was 50 years ago is not the way that it is today. It's a mentality. They keep saying things to teenagers, and teenagers have no way to, as you were saying, Debbie, that teenagers have, they become afraid of saying anything because they know without a doubt that parents, lots of parents, they don't have a clue about what's going on in this world right now. And that caused them, that's the one reason why they are confused. Here is the way it works. Confusion breeds frustrations. Frustrations breed rage, and that's one reason for most suicide cases that we have on Earth right now. Thank you so very much for letting me sharing this to add on to what you were talking about. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Thank you for calling in, and I sincerely appreciate that. And if your vision is as you say, please contact me. Email me at tstar@tstar.com and send me something, your information. I'll make sure to get back with you in regards to trying to see your vision come true.
Oh, I'd be happy to. Thank you very much.
Thank you. You got it.
Thank you so very much for calling in. We appreciate you sharing your shine because we need it. The world is desperate for people like you, more people like you to help, because these teens are our future, and they are terrific teens. And it's our responsibility to, as you said, we've got to correct the things that are wrong. It's our responsibility and duty. So
there's so many parallels to it. But the point blank of the matter is that we as the adults have to start owning up to it. We can't keep blaming our teens. We can't keep putting it off on our teens. Okay, it's happened. It's done. Now we've got to get to solutions, which is what we're talking about. And he did make a good point about the confusion and leading to rage and the being ashamed and then not even having anyone to speak to.
He brought up a great point. And, you know, somebody's listening maybe on replay or maybe you're listening now and you're like, you know, I feel that way. I feel like I'm experiencing some shame. I have something that is, you know, a secret that I don't want to talk about and I need to be safe. I need somebody I can trust. One of our dear friends, Healing Through Hurt, Maria Wall, she deals with abused women and helping adults. She's in our chat room right now. Hi, Maria Wall. We love you. You know, she's talking about the need to be more diligent and vigilant in taking notice of our teens' lives and when their moods change, that this is almost an indicator to adults, you know, that something else is going on, and we really need to pay attention and look for the things that maybe we don't want to see or see. How can people get in touch with you? Because we're at the end of our hour, and I know that the next show, our third series in this four-part series, we're going to be talking and sharing your network, which is going to be a great source to help parents and teens have this safe place of support with people that really love and care about them and want them to be happy and healthy and safe. And that'll be next part. But how can somebody get in touch with you that was listening today?
Okay. As you know, you can always just email me directly if you have to. Tia Star, which is TIASTARR, at TiaStar.com. Two R's. That's the quickest way to get me. Also, if you want to go to the website, as you know, we're right in the development and counting down to the launch of the new network. Down on the bottom links, there's a contact button. You can email me right there and send in the form. That's the quickest way to do it. So if you really want to get in contact with me right there, that's always the quickest way to do it. I do actually respond to my emails.
You do respond. You are a lady of integrity. You're in the best people we know club, so you have to be like that. I just really want to thank everybody that has joined us in the chat room or listening, or even if, you know, you're listening on replay in iTunes. I know we have a ton of people that listen after, you know, the show's been aired.
Right.
Which is great. Share this with a friend. Talk about it. How did you do with your media fast for that one day? How did you feel? Did you feel like you had this IAD? How do you term it again, Tia?
IAD, Internet Addictive Disorder.
Okay. Do you have that? Do you know someone who does? You know, make sure that you share this. Join us in 2 weeks, Saturday at 10 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. We'll be talking about Tia's fabulous launch. We're really excited about that, Tia. And
I want to address the media fast again. And also, we'll talk more about the disorder and definitely more solutions. Some of the things that will definitely be there, and also a way to globally connect with each other so that we can start helping our teens. So that will definitely be the focus of the next show.
Yeah.
Because this is important.
And your radio show, I'm going to plug for Maria Wall. She's in the chat room. We love Maria Wall.
Okay.
Healing Through Hurt, if you have a woman that you know in your life that needs help with being abused, because her radio show and resources with the Wall Foundation is fabulous. So go online and check out Maria. But tell us how we can listen to you, because you have a great radio show.
Well, you know, you can always catch me right on Blog Talk. Tia Star, the Tia Star Show. It's on Blog Talk. If you Google Tia Star with two R's, you're going to find it that way. Also, we syndicate all over globally, so I have a couple of different networks. But the quickest way to link to it is obviously just go to the website, and it'll give you all the different formats and how to listen to me at TiaStar.com. And the new network site will be the TiaStarNetwork.com.
Awesome.
So those are some of the ways. And then obviously those that are familiar with the nonprofit, the TSTARFoundation.org.
Right. All right. Well, I just want to thank everybody, especially our great guest, Tia Star, who's a big blessing in helping to change the world. And remember that you're not here by accident. If you've been listening today or you feel this ache in your heart, you know that, you know, you're getting a divine appointment, you know. We, God of your understanding, whatever you feel, the universe, God, spiritual enlightenment, you're here, you're necessary, you're listening for a reason. Don't waste the opportunity. Share this with a friend. Bring someone in two Saturdays. Contact Tia Star. You know, think about what you heard today and take action. Seeds are planted. Help them grow. You make a difference. You may change one life by talking about this, by asking a question. And one life is one important life that you can make a difference in. So don't waste the opportunity. And I want to just thank you for being part of the show and making us a great success. And just make it a great weekend. For those that are celebrating Easter, have a blessed Easter. And just thank you for being here and taking action. And we'll see you next week on the Best People We Know radio show. And get connected with Tia Star. She's awesome. And let's all of us together be the best by making a difference for our terrific teens. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Best People We Know radio show with your host, Deb Scott. For more on Deb and her guests, plus her award-winning guidebook to transformation, The Sky is Green and the Grass is Blue, Turning Your Upside-Down World Right Side Up, go to Deb's website, greenskyandbluegrass.com. You can also connect with Deb for coaching or speaking and sign up for Deb's free Mind Vitamin newsletter while you're there. So now you're one step closer today to your greatness. We look forward to being with you next time on the Best People We Know radio show.